as we come to communion this morning. I think sometimes we see communion and being filled with the Spirit as two different things. Communion's where I'm just kind of serious and reverent and very quiet. And the Holy Spirit is when I don't think about Jesus and I'm just really happy and overflowing. Somehow we've kind of missed the connection that the Holy Spirit's whole work is to cause us to celebrate and be filled with the work of Christ in our lives. And sometimes we miss how the very purpose of the Holy Spirit is to keep Jesus in the center of our life and overflowing in such a way that we can glorify Him and that we can face this life with His joy and His peace. You know, whether you were a student who was doing homecoming yesterday, or you were out in a family outing, or you had a long weekend of work, you know, whatever your situation is, our life is meant to be lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't live in this world trying to keep our fingers crossed and suck it up and say, well, I'm just going to make this work because I know God wants me to be good and I'm going to be good. No, what we know is that the Holy Spirit has been given to us that we might work in the power of Him and we might keep Jesus in the center. And all I want to do today is I want to take some time as the shepherd of this flock to continue to give us the right kind of balance in understanding the very power and supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So you'll see there, it says it's an everyday Jesus-centered relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I think we have to remember that there is no relationship with the Holy Spirit outside being Jesus-centered. And in, you know, He may be around us trying to lead us and guide us in terms of bring us to Christ. But once we come to Christ, we are to, the Holy Spirit's job is to keep us Jesus-centered. And we're going to talk about what that looks like. You'll see there in John 16:7, it says, He, the Holy Spirit, will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The whole role of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. And so, I'm sorry this isn't visually balanced or very pleasing this morning, but I just want to use this to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. And hopefully everybody can see enough. I'm trying to angle here but get you in. So hopefully it'll work. But I want us to have something. So the next time, whether in your worship service or you're having an amazing moment by yourself or you're in the midst of a bunch of people who don't know the Lord or you're in the midst of a bunch of people who do, you can understand what the Holy Spirit is and what emotions are in the middle of that move. And so what I want you to do is I want you to think of the cross. And I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit is always leading us to this. And in the center, I want to talk about this morning how you understand that the Holy Spirit is always about the mission of Jesus. Always about the mission of Jesus. And we're going to bring everything that we talk about today back to this. That the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us accomplish the mission of Jesus. He's always going to glorify Jesus, who's always glorifying the Father. We see in number one, what I did was on the back, I just kind of, you know, this is kind of number one right here. And I just gave you the cross on the one side so you can see it. But you'll see that verse there. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The mission that the Holy Spirit works in us is to make us ready to glorify Him in the world, to be His witness. And there's a few things He works on us. I was in membership class on Wednesday night. Those of you who are with me, you're going to notice this tension we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the radical middle. God does this and this in us, and together it represents the mission of God, and you'll get it as we go. But I just want you to see some things this morning. First of all, what I want you to see is this. The Holy Spirit, number two, is always working the maturity of Jesus in us. Another way to say this, if you want to get a little bit more specific, is holy. Now, the two aren't exactly the same, but in an everyday way, the more holy I get, the more mature Jesus I get. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to help me mature. Now, a lot of times when we think about the holiness of Jesus and we think about the maturity of Jesus, we tend to think of kind of lightning crashing, white light, get out of the way holiness of Jesus. And yet, if you look at the verse I chose to represent the maturity of Jesus and the holiness of him, I chose Galatians 5, 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. You know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the character of Jesus. All of the things in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that's the character of Jesus. And that character is what the Holy Spirit is trying to produce in us. Because how can I be his witness if I'm not like him? Right? There's a part of witness which is describing what he's done. But there's another part of witness that is reflecting who he is. So one of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life is he wants to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And it's fruit. It's not the lightning of the Spirit. It's not one situation I'm loving. It's no, this is a constant thing and I bear it all the time. And it's not my momentary, but I gain, here's a great word, consistency. Consistency in demonstrating peace, in demonstrating joy. You know, I think for all the guys in the group, your greatest gut check on the fruit of the Spirit is how you handle your most intense game. You know, I'm on the basketball court. That's the level of the consistency of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. Okay? And I'm sure there are a bunch of ladies who are the same way. My daughter, Melody, man, she's as competitive as all get out. So, that's where the consistency shows up. And what we talk about when we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit is we're not talking the fruits as individuals. We're talking about that when we're like Jesus, when we're becoming more like him. Notice how the verses there talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and then it talks about the crucifying of the sinful nature. It's really about holiness in that moment, okay? But what it shows us is that if I'm really going to have the love of the Holy Spirit, then that means it also should demonstrate self-control. I don't have one without the other. It's one fruit, okay? So, what's the whole lie about premarital sex and sexual immorality? Well, I really love you. No, you don't, because you don't have any self-control. That's not real love. Real love has self-control to it. What you've got is lust. Because the comfort and the character of Jesus doesn't demonstrate one but not have the other. No, Jesus demonstrates both of them at the same time. So, if I really have joy, I should have faithfulness. Because I don't have to party so hard that I am unfaithful to somebody or unfaithful to Jesus in the middle of what I call joy. No, that's not joy at all. See, joy, real joy from the Holy Spirit has faithfulness to it because you don't have one without all the rest. And that's how you know if it's the real thing or if it's a counterfeit. There are a lot of people who want to have peace in life. And, you know, I always harp on the coexist bumper sticker. I love the coexist bumper sticker. You know, let's just all get along, can't we? All right? Now, in one sense, absolutely. Let's not be ridiculous and stupid. But in another sense, there is no peace without goodness. And the goodness is always tied to Jesus Christ. There's no goodness outside of Jesus Christ. So you could say you want to make peace through tolerance all you want, but if you don't have goodness attached to that peace, it's not from God. And it doesn't have the maturity, it doesn't have the character, it doesn't have the consistency of Jesus in it. So the Holy Spirit, because he is on mission, is always working the maturity of Jesus in us. But then there's this other beautiful thing he's working. He's also working the mercy of Jesus in us. Okay? And a great biblical word is compassion. All right? Holy Spirit is always working mercy in us. And he's working the good news of Jesus Christ, that there is mercy, that although maybe we didn't come today and give God our best the way we should have in worship this morning, that there's a mercy there because there's a faithful love of God. I got a little choked up thinking about this morning. I was in prayer, and I was just asking the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, how do I communicate the compassion of God, that He's so faithful and loving, even as He is holy? And I just thought of something. I always assume God's doing it in my life if I'm going to talk about it. I'm just not paying attention to it. And I was coaching my son's soccer game yesterday at the YMCA. And before the game, we're undefeated, you know, 6 years old. And 6-year-old YMCA soccer. And it's amazing how we live all of our issues through our kids, isn't it? Before the game, we're taking pictures. And as we're taking pictures, the team that's after us, I haven't seen them. I'm like, oh, they look pretty big, tough, you know. Sure enough, we're playing them. They're the Fire Dogs, okay? To which my son called them the Chili Dogs all day long. So we're in this game, and I joke with the parents afterwards. I said, this game was sponsored by Patient First. Because, like, every 3 seconds, someone's getting hurt and crying. And, of course, at 6 years old, everybody still cries. And so we're playing this game, and we're kind of going back and forth. We score a goal, they score a goal. We're just back and forth. And it's, like, super intense. And I'm trying to, like, you know, try not to get intense. This is not my issue. This is not all that important. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to enjoy it. And I'm doing a fairly decent job. And it's like 4-3. You know, it's a tight game. And we're in the middle, and, like, all these things are happening. And there's this series where, like, everybody's yelling and, oh, this crazy play this way, and this, and this kid comes in and whacks this kid, and all this stuff has happened, and then the ball goes out of bounds, and this little kid, Corey, who, he's just there because mom and dad want him to be there kind of thing, you know, and he's just kind of hanging out, you know, doing this, stirring the, you know, he's just hanging out. So we just finished this whole intense, battle, and it's 4-3, and we're barely winning, and the ball goes out of bounds, and runs over to me and says, Coach, am I doing great? You're doing great, man. You're so good, man. You're doing great. Yeah, so terrific. Like, in the middle of the season, am I doing great? Like, you're doing great. You haven't touched the ball all game long. You're doing great. You know, and I don't mean, like, because he messed up. I mean, he's just not even connected to what's going on. Yeah, you're doing terrific. And I just thought of that this morning. And, you know, that's the mercy of God. You know, we're in the middle of, you know, life. Basically, most of us do look like this. Where's the ball, God? You know, we don't even have a clue what's really going on. And you're just, hey, God, how am I doing? He's like, you're doing great. You're just doing great. I love you. I'm glad you're here. I'm taking care of this. You know, you have no effect on the score whatsoever, but you're doing fantastic. Yeah. I just think we have to remember there's a mercy of God. That really, you know, all this intense, and there is, you know, there's an intense spiritual battle going on. We feel it. A lot of times it feels like weariness and overwhelmingness to us. We think it's emotional, but it's really spiritual. You know, we're in this crazy battle. And yet, here it is, the mercy of Jesus, who will not let us fail. We did win, by the way. Just a little. Forgive me, Lord. I had to just... you know, He's got control of the score. He just does. And we're kind of going through His life, and we're trying really hard. And He's just faithful, because He has mercy. You see the scripture there. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish. He's got the score controlled, and yet there's a mercy that lets us be in the game, and we're doing great. And you know, if our mission is to bring glory to Jesus and be His witness, then the Holy Spirit's got to work maturity in us. And that's conviction. That's things where, no, that's not okay, Sean. That's not okay to watch that, to think about that, to look at that, to feel that way, to put yourself in to be doing that. He's working holiness and maturity, but at the same time, he's working mercy, and he's giving us mercy. And he says, you know what? You're not where you need to be, but I've got you. I've got control of the score, and my grace is sufficient for you. And my forgiveness is never ending. And my compassion knows no end. And you know what? As he works both of these in us, it brings a radical middle to our lives where we are not satisfied. Where's Evelyn? Evelyn prayed it this morning. God, I'm content, but I'm not satisfied. You know, I'm content that what you're doing is good and that I'm doing great as I'm following after you. And I'm not satisfied because I know, dear God, that I want to reflect you and know you. And I want life to flow through me to my family, not death. I don't want my words to be what divides everybody. I want my words to be what brings everybody together. I want my words to be what helps people have hope and sense grace and faithfulness while it stays centered on truth. I don't want to be the person who lies just to make people like me or just speaks words of hate over other people so I can feel better about myself. That's the mission that the Holy Spirit is working. So there's a breath to what the Holy Spirit does. He's working maturity while he's always giving us mercy at the same time. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But then there's a depth to what the Holy Spirit does. And I didn't think through this all that well. But I'm just going to, there's how, so this is the maturity of Jesus. This is the mercy of Jesus. I'm just going to, I'll give you the M. Well, I'll just go to the, I'll skip the M for this one. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is always working. And this is going to sound a little strange. The cross of Jesus in us. You know, in Luke 9:23, Jesus says, if anybody wants to come after me, wants to follow me, then he's going to have to take up his cross. She is going to have to take up her cross and follow. And I think this is probably where the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit gets the most twisted in people's brains and experience. The Holy Spirit, God is working holiness and he has mercy on us. But that doesn't mean he's not working a cross. And if you want the M, it's the method. You know, this is how Jesus accomplished the mission. Was what? The cross. That's how he did it all. And you know, we could talk about all of the miracles of Jesus, but if you don't see them in the context of Jesus going to the cross, you're not seeing them right. Because the whole point of Jesus being born was to die. So the power of the Holy Spirit wasn't to save him from dying. The power of the Holy Spirit was so that he would die the right way. But his whole purpose was to get to a cross. His purpose was the Holy Spirit not in him to lead him away from the cross, but to make sure he went to the right one. You know, we create a lot of our own crosses. I mean, that's true. But the Holy Spirit, through the will of the Father, wants to lead us to a cross that brings Christ glory. Some of it is in the business decisions of people who can make this much money and have this kind of career, and then they choose to say, you know what, God's calling me over here, and I'm going to do that. You know, some people who want to do missions, and God's called them to be in business, and they're bearing their cross that way. Because their hearts, you know, I mean, they've got enough connection to it, but in a sense, they know that all this stuff's not all that important. It's all tools in the hands for the mission. But probably where the Holy Spirit gets most confused in the church today is that somehow the Holy Spirit is in us so we don't have to have a cross in our life. And that's just not true. The Holy Spirit is always working us to a cross, where we give our life. Again, this is the method of Jesus. How did Jesus accomplish the salvation of the world? By miraculously healing everybody? By being the best teacher there ever was? Well, he was all those things. But the way he saved the world was through a cross. And one of the things we have to recognize as Christians is the Holy Spirit is actually, now look, you're getting a little uncomfortable when I say this, But the Holy Spirit is actually leading you to a cross. He's actually trying to get you to be the place where you give your life and you sacrifice yourself, especially, I mean, sinful nature, that's just the first rung of what you're sacrificing. I mean, that should be the given. But like Paul says, you know what? It's all garbage compared to knowing him. I want to know Christ in his what? In his sufferings and his resurrection. I want to do that. Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. You know, that's where the church is. And, you know, whether you see something on TV, you're like, I'm not so sure about that. You know, that's the issue here. You know, Jesus heals Lazarus. I mean, talk about power. Talk about miracle moment. But Jesus all the time is planning to go to a cross. The power and the demonstration and the gift of the Spirit is not to avoid the cross. It's so he can get to it. And so for you and I, one of the things we have to understand, because this is the mission of the Holy Spirit, for us to be like Jesus, to help light come into darkness, to bring the gospel to where it's never been. And it's the method of Jesus is the cross. As the Spirit fills us, I can have, as Hebrews tells me, as the joy set before me, I can endure the cross, because I've got a greater joy of accomplishing the purposes of the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is amazing, but we just need to remember that the cross is the mission. And I need a lot of maturity for that, don't I? And praise the Lord, I'm going to need mercy. Lots of it. And I want you to see that, and I just want to take a moment. I wrote it out. Let me read this to you real quick. What is a cross and crucifixion? Well, let's see. I'm just thinking about Jesus. God uses someone else to cause him pain and death. In obedience, he agrees to go and endure it, even though someone else is the one who accomplishes it. He gives himself to Roman soldiers. No one takes him there, no one forces him, but he agrees to go. The person crucifying you thinks they're right and assumes you're wrong. Crucifixion, you walk in truth and forgiveness, accomplishing God's glory. You refuse to struggle with the person, but you are not led or dominated by the person either. And what I see in the crucifixion is it's for God's glory, and it's for the repentance or the condemnation of everybody watching. Hallelujah. There's miraculous healing in marriages. There's miraculous healings in addictions. There's miraculous recovery of careers. There's all these things. But, you know, if you want to spend all your time being bitter and angry at the person who's the choice of the crucifixion, I mean, you're not going to get anywhere in life. You know, Jesus didn't spend all the time saying, these Romans, I can't believe that they have the audacity. You know, let's review again. Let's, you know, come on, soldiers. Let's really talk about it. I can't believe you're doing this. You know, what about all your issues, Roman soldier? I mean, who sinned more between us? Who should be on this cross, me or you? I mean, Jesus, the only thing he says is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I just want to speak a word this morning. Now, look, none of us walk in the holiness, the full holiness of Jesus. So most of our crosses have a lot of us in it. All right? But don't forget what Jesus went through and that people were part of it. People who were wrong were part of it. And just make sure you don't get so caught up in the person who's wrong that you miss the cross of what the Holy Spirit wants to do to bring Jesus glory. Last one. The cross of Jesus, but praise the Lord for Romans chapter 8, the resurrection of Jesus. And if you're following with the M's, I'm sorry, I messed up my order there, but it's the might of Jesus. You know, there's also the truth here, and it's the same thing that Romans 8 tells us. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, what's the next line? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, there's the cross again, you will live. Here is the depth and the radical middle of the Holy Spirit always glorifying Jesus, always accomplishing the mission of Jesus, is that in the Holy Spirit we have resurrection power. It's not to avoid the crosses that bring Him glory and that demonstrate His truth, that demonstrate His maturity and His mercy. But it is to go through those crosses to glorify Jesus. You know, when you feel like I can't possibly have joy in my life again, I can't possibly have hope in my life again, I can't possibly feel peace again, I can't possibly feel pure and worthy again. When you feel those things, you need to remember, as true as all the memories that you have of what you've done that have led you to that discouraging and defeated place, that the truth of the resurrection is even greater. And that somehow, as I bring glory to God in the right crosses of my life, and I've got to work those out with the body of Christ and with the Lord in my daily walk as I work for maturity and mercy. I mean, all these things work together. I experience resurrection, and that is the greatest testimony of all. It's the greatest witness. By the way, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, what's the real word for witness in that passage? Martyr. You will be my martyrs. You will have a maturity and extend enough mercy to give your life in such a way that I'll resurrect it and everybody know Jesus is real. God bless you. You're welcome. We come to the communion to celebrate what? The body and the blood of Jesus. We remember His death. But what do we also do? We know we'll drink it again when? We celebrate His resurrection as well. We remember the maturity that gave Himself for us, and we thank God for the mercy that's forgiven our sins. You know, any time the Holy Spirit is at the move, and tonight we're going to praise the Lord, and we're just going to celebrate for our community. We're going to intercede. It's kind of like our prayer night with a little bit more of celebration and praise to it. And we're asking all of you to come on out, 6 p.m. But when we do that, we recognize that the power of the Holy Spirit, everything we do tonight, let's say people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's say, let's just say somebody's just quiet but just astounded with God. Another person is just expressive and rejoicing. It's all got to come to this. You want to look at any move of the Holy Spirit, you want to say, is that the Holy Spirit or isn't it? It comes down to this right here. Because the Holy Spirit is always working the mission to glorify, always working to glorify Jesus Christ. And He's not doing something so you can just have a great personal experience. The Holy Spirit's not there so you can escape. The Holy Spirit's there so you can endure the right way. The Holy Spirit may speak a word and create resurrection. And you're a whole different kind of witness tonight. That may happen. Had a great moment. I was just walking with a couple, and they're just in a tough spot. And what usually happens when couples finally get to that place of really tough, they kind of acknowledge that they need help, but then they underestimate how overwhelmed they're going to feel about the grief and the pain and the anger of what's happened to them. So in the beginning, they agree they need help. But then what happens is as they start to do help, the grief starts to overwhelm them and the bitterness starts to overwhelm. And all of a sudden, the same people who said, yeah, we need help and I'm committed to making this worse, say, I don't want to do anything anymore. And I was working with one of those couples and they were at that point. And I met with each of them, and I was meeting with the wife, and we had a good moment of remembering this. I didn't say it this way, but it was this idea. And I texted her last night. I said, "How you guys doing?" And she said, "Pastor Sean." She said, "You know, I walked away from that moment, and I really felt a little different because I just felt like, all right, instead of just all my pain being the center of how this is working, I helped. You kind of got me back to Jesus center on it, and that helped, but I didn't feel much better." And then she, I'm paraphrasing, but she said, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit met me that night. And she said, I can't wait to tell you the next part. And so I don't even know the next part. I just know she's all excited and wants to talk to me. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is always working here. And as a church, okay, as a church, as we see the work of the Holy Spirit continue to move in us, this is the grid right here, okay? All right? We're all different expressions in this place. Your expression is not my expression. Some people, you know, they could get up and dance and rejoice, and some people are just, you know, here we are. Some people are very outward, some people are very inward. That's not the issue. That's not the measure. The measure is the mission of the Holy Spirit. He's always producing unity in us. So no one is ever like, well, if I can't do it, I don't like you guys. I mean, that's not an attitude of the Holy Spirit at all. That's not, there's no fruit of Spirit in that. It's like, hey, I want to serve you, and I want you to know me, and I want us to grow, and I really feel this is part of what the Holy Spirit wants to do, but I'm happy to work on it until we figure it out together. And that's just the right attitude. And I want to encourage you that this is how we look at it, and it all comes down to, in the end, is the mission of Jesus being accomplished in what we're calling the move of the Holy Spirit. Because if it's not, that's a people thing right there then. But if it is, that's a Holy Spirit thing. We need to say yes to it. So I'm going to invite, I think Doug and Chuck would come up as part of our eldership. And let's see, Charles, you want to come as one of our deacons? If you want to come on up. Who else is, I'm sure I'm looking right at you and missing you. Are there any other deacons in the house? First service? No? Oh, yeah, Jay, come on. Jay, and is Laura here? Yeah. I'm going to ask you guys to help out with the distributing of communion this morning. And this is all prompted. They have no idea what I'm asking. They're like, oh, Pastor Sean, you didn't tell us about this. This morning, what I'm going to invite you to do is, I'm just going to invite them to distribute. Let's keep it simple. Distribute it as Pastor Brandon leads us for a moment. But as they distribute communion, and then ushers, if you will fill in the gaps for me, Lori, Lil and Roger, sorry, missed you. Come on up. It's part of our deacons. I want to encourage you, say, Holy Spirit, I want all that you have. I want it. And I know this is what you're working in me. Some of you, I said one of these and you felt super convicted. You know, that's just what you did. Because you know that's your one out of everything. I mean, the Holy Spirit's working all, but you know that, whichever one that is, that's your one right now. And I want to encourage you as we go into communion to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, if I've been fighting you, and I've got all my list of excuses because I've seen all the bad things about the Holy Spirit, so, you know, I just chalked it up to I don't need you. But Holy Spirit, I can't do this without you. And I want to be like Christ in his maturity, in his mercy, in his method, and in his might. I want it. So I'm going to invite you to stand if you would. As Pastor Brandon leads us, I'm going to work with the deacons and elders here to distribute communion, and then we're going to take it together. Thank you.
Forbid, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me sacrifice them to His blood. Oh, the wonderful cross! Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here, by grace draw near, and bless your name. Oh, let's see from his head. From his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. There's such love and sorrow. Compose so rich a crown. Hey. Oh, the wonderful cross! Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here, by grace draw near, and bless your name. All who gather here, by your grace draw near, and bless your name.
Behold the body, the blood of Christ. I'm going to ask that you would walk through this cross with me for a moment as you bow all that you are before God. If there's any place of sin in your life, one, if you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but if you have, then if there is a place in which you have not been listening to what the Holy Spirit's trying to work in you about holiness, and there's a place of repentance this morning, I'm going to invite you to confess that to the Lord privately this morning before we take communion. Would you take that moment and seek His maturity and His holiness? as you continue to look at your own heart, if there's a place where you have not lived in the mercy, both knowing that if you truly come to Christ, you're forgiven, but also extending mercy to others. Would you take a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and would you confess in your heart a lack of any mercy and ask for that mercy to be built up in you? Lord, as we have walked through these two, we take the bread that is your body that was broken for us. Lord, we ask that likewise there would be a brokenness in us as well. Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to work holiness, to not run away from the maturity we need in Christ, but to allow the Holy Spirit to work it. And likewise, to have mercy on people as you have had mercy on us. Take now and eat the body of Christ that is broken for you. As you hold the cup, now I invite you to search your heart. God, what cross am I to bear to follow you? Teach me to accept it for your glory and honor. And I just speak a word as I'm asking you to do that. The cross has boundaries. It's not settling for any kind of physical, relational abuse in this room. So if you struggle with that and you've been exposed to that, Jesus was within the boundaries of honoring God and doing what the Father asked when he went to the cross. And I just want to speak that over in case you've experienced abuse, that you wouldn't accept that and continue to allow that to work in your life. In those moments, you need to hold on to the boundaries of the Holy Spirit. You need someone to walk with you in that. But if there's those places now, say, God, I need to be willing to take up my cross, because you're the one leading me to bring you glory through that situation. I need not to be fixated on people. I need to honor you. I'm just going to ask that you would allow this Holy Spirit to speak that to you in these next few moments and confess it before the Lord in your heart. Would you also take a moment now to know the resurrection? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And would every place of emptiness or defeat, every place where you've yet to see an answer, would you confess again your belief and your certainty in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ to cause you to overcome for His glory and for His honor? And truly for the fruit of the Spirit, the joy that God wants to give you. So Lord, we take this cup. It was your blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. It was the creation of a new covenant people by your sacrifice. We hold this, remembering it. Remembering your sacrifice, the source of our forgiveness, and also that we will again drink of this with you.